America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Stop the music. We have an important story that's being covered up by the media. I don't understand this, but terrorists have attacked a Pakistani luxury hotel with a truck bomb, killing scores and injuring many. The fact of the matter is, I'm searching all the websites. I've been watching all the cable channels. I see Neil Cavuto, the sock puppet, having his boss talk through his mouth about business. CNN covered it for 2 seconds. They won't say terrorist. It's a shocking development for three reasons. One, because it happened. It's another Mumbai bombing on a smaller scale thus far. Two, because of the vast cover-up by the American media. Now, the reason they're covering it up is because Al-Qaeda has answered Obama's pacifist message with a bomb. The only reason this story is not all over the media is because Obama went there and extended the hand of peace, and what he got was a bomb in exchange. And that's why the vermin in the media won't cover it. You know it and I know it. And we're all going to die unless you understand the danger we are in. I'm telling you, and I'm using the exact right word, I am telling you the danger we are in. Pakistan, suicide bombers attacked in a truck on a luxury hotel used by foreigners in Peshawar, firing guns as they stormed past guards and then setting off a huge blast that killed at least five and wounded 65 more. That was hours ago. Explain to me why it was up on Drudge and then was taken off Drudge. Explain to me why Fox won't cover it, why CNN went right by it. Tell me why this story is being covered up, the Pakistani hotel bombing. The other story is this. I was just invited on Sky News in London, where I appeared live in the UK to 2 million listeners. It's astonishing to me that my fight to clear my name in Britain is still one of the biggest stories in Britain and is completely blacked out here in America by the very same media that's blacking out the suicide bombing in Pakistan. I have been blacklisted by Fox, CNN, ABC, CBS, and the other channels. Fox has become exactly like ABC, CBS, and NBC and CNN. They are no different, make no mistake about it. It's just a different hydra, a different head of the same hydra. The English understand what free speech is. Apparently, Fox News does not. They'd rather have a prostitute on or a drug addict than a talk show host who is fighting to clear his name. And that is why I was invited today on Sky News, and we're going to play that piece for you shortly on The Savage Nation. I don't know if you know it. You wouldn't know it by reading Fox News, the so-called conservative outlet. But today, I sent a letter to the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, and that would be Gordon Brown. I'm appealing directly to him. The letter will be published tomorrow morning in England. It has been banned in the United States of America. We are living in a very sad time. The fact of the matter is, there is more freedom of speech in Indonesia than there is in America. There seems to be less of a grip on the media in Thailand than there is in the United States of America. Thank God I still have a radio show to use as a platform. Sky News did a live television interview with Michael Savage just about in the last hour. I'm going to talk about, actually I did talk about my letter to the Prime Minister and the fact that I was continuing legal action against Jackie Smith despite her no longer holding office of the Home Secretary. The interview was about 6 minutes long. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that they've heard anything about Michael Savage's attempt to clear his name on any news show in the United States of America over the last 48 hours? Can anyone listening to this program right now in the United States of America tell me if they have seen the fact that terrorists have launched an attack on a Pakistani luxury hotel? Can anyone listening to this show explain to me why this big story of a new terrorist attack has been covered up by the American media? I can tell you why. Because it is an answer to Obama's pacifism. I warned you that terrorists do not respond to peace. Oh, I wish they did. I wish to God that the world had changed over the last 50 years or the last 5 years. but nothing has changed. The only thing terrorists understand is terror. They do not respond to peace. They only respond to war. And now we have a president who is a college teacher who is using a textbook method of pacifism that has been tried over and over again. He got his answer. North Korea has found two journalists from America guilty and given them 12-year sentences. That was one answer to Obama's peace offering. Today was the other. A bomb went off in a luxury hotel in Pakistan. Don't you understand the danger you are in? Can't you see finally what I have been saying to you and how important it really is? If you care to comment on this, we are learning that the wounded, which is now 65, that was 2 hours ago, it's gone up, but we can't get any late reports on this because the blackout continues. The breaking news on this story is impossible to find. And what astonishes me is that I can't even find it on the Drudge Report. Drudge ran it as a banner for about 15 minutes today and then took it off his website entirely. So I said to myself, maybe it's not a true story. Why is the story off there? I go to AP News. I have to search the entire AP website. I can't find the bombing in Pakistan. I can't find it. I know that they're not covering here. First Gitmo inmate in U.S., not guilty. Obama pitches pay-as-you-go. Judge lets Chrysler sever ties with dealers. Ah, here it is. Four more bodies found from Air France disaster and buried down at the bottom because it makes Obama look like the pacifist fool that he is. Bomb at luxury hotel in Pakistan kills X. Now, they don't say terrorism, you'll notice, in the Associated Press. They say bomb, as though the bomb went off by spontaneous combustion. It was a bomb at a luxury hotel. They won't say radical Islam. They won't say Al-Qaeda. They won't say Islamofascism. There is no face to the enemy. It's just a bomb at a luxury hotel in Pakistan kills at least 11, according to the so-called Associated Press, written by Riaz Khan, one of their so-called men in Havana. The suicide bombers, they won't even call them suicide bombers. They said they killed 11 and wounded 70. I'm sure the numbers will go way up. But the fact of the matter is this was an answer to Obama's peace offering to Al-Qaeda. 1-800-449-8255. You're listening to The Savage Nation, the last and most important independent voice in the American media, where I can get on the British media without asking, while in the American media, I am persona non grata, I do not exist. 1-800-449-8255. Aaron in Houston, you're the first up on The Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's your topic?
Good evening. I also noticed a few days after the Air France accident, Drudge had a news story about bomb threats a week prior to the accident. That was only up for maybe 6 to 8 hours, and then that was taken down. I've never heard anything else since.
So what's going on? Why do you think this is happening? Who is controlling all of these outlets? Drudge certainly is an independent operator. He wouldn't respond to anyone saying take it down. He's not controlled by Murdoch.
I have no idea, to be honest with you, but I do.
Well, I have an idea. I have an idea, and I'm expressing the ideas. And by the way, we're talking about two topics. A bomb by terrorists has been exploded at a luxury hotel in Pakistan. It cannot be found on so-called conservative websites. None of them are covering it. Why? Tell me why it's not being covered. Why is the media avoiding the terrorist bomb in Pakistan? This is very, very strange. Albany, New York. John, you're up on The Savage Nation.
Michael, I just wanted to agree with you. The United States right now is being run by Hillary Clinton, and they're acting like Chamberlain did back in the 1940s with Hitler.
Yes, of course. I've covered that for over several years now, which is Chamberlain comes back and says, I have a note in my hand from Chancellor Hitler, or President Hitler, I don't know what he called him, who assures me that he will not invade any other countries. And, of course, Hitler then went ahead and invaded the next country. Chamberlain was a pacifist and socialist. Chamberlain at least apologized for his naivete shortly thereafter. You know that. But Obama has not yet come to understand the danger he is putting this country in with his genuflecting to the terrorists. You understand that?
Absolutely.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. You're listening to the last great independent radio show in the United States of America. It is called The Savage Nation. We are talking about two stories that have been being blacked out by the American media. Michael Savage being banned from going to Britain, and the suicide bombing just hours ago at a luxury hotel in Pakistan on the order of the bombing in Mumbai. When I return on the Savage Nation, we will cover these stories and all the other news that Fox refuses to cover, as well as play for you my live interview, which just appeared on Sky News in England. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Obama's supine peace mission to the Middle East has just had its answer. Apparently Al-Qaeda, they say militants because that's the new code word for Al-Qaeda or radical Islam, attacked a hotel, killing at least five, including a UN worker, and injuring at least 70. The numbers will go up because if you look at the pictures, the hotel is in rubble. And they're saying they don't know who did it. They have no idea who did it. It was spontaneous combustion. That's one story. And the cover-up on my appeal for getting my name off the list, you got to understand how important this is. They put my name on a list with a person who smashed in the head of a four-year-old child with a rifle butt. There's a huge difference between the act of murder and speech that you disagree with. Most sane liberals agree with me. They disagree with what I say, but they agree with that statement. The insane progressives, the most dangerous element in American history, are the ones who do not agree with that. They want to see me crucified. That means they want to see you crucified if you disagree with them. And so, therefore, we go to the callers. Washington, D.C. Eric, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to call in. I've been listening to you for 6 or 7 years, and just want to let you know that I was a registered Democrat. Going into this last election, but with all the policies and decisions that have been made these last 4 or 5 months, it's really disturbed me, with how this country has gone from a capitalist society to embracing more socialism. And it also concerns me that no one in the media ever questions Obama and his decisions. And he pretty much hand chooses who gets to ask questions at all of his.
You're living in a controlled environment. You're living in basically a benign totalitarian. You're living with a benign totalitarian regime under Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama. Thank you for the call. 1-800-449-8255. By the way, Drudge just put the story up. It's up on Drudge. I don't know. It went up right after I said it. I don't know whether he heard me or not. I hope he did. We all read each other, listen to each other. Something's wrong with this picture, though. This is a huge story. Steve in Los Angeles, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Mike, just more information for you. Fox is listening to you as well. It's up on their website, and they go into great detail to outline exactly how it happened.
But wait, it's on their website, but it's not on their television show, is it, right now?
Not on the Well, I'm at work, so I can't see the television show, but it is up on the website.
No, they had the sock puppet Neil Cavuto interviewing his boss, Rupert Murdoch. That was their main story. That's his job, Neil Cavuto, the pudgy fellow who makes believe everyone loves him. Thanks for the call. San Diego, John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mr. Savage. So the reason why the mainstream media is not covering this terrorist attack is because the media and also the Obama administration wants us to think that the war is 1,000 miles away from our own shores and it doesn't involve us. But I've been fighting this war on terrorism for the last 6 years in the United States military, and I tell you, I live it every day in my life by sitting. I can't take it anymore, man, because people got to understand that this war is in our land, is in our shores right now. It's not 1,000 miles away. It's here right now.
Well, you know what I think about soldiers. They're my heroes, and I have tremendous admiration for the young men who have to go over there and actually do the job that most of us cannot do or would not do. And God forbid, but one day we all know, we feel it in our guts that with a pacifist socialist administration, we're all waiting for something horrible to happen here. We're terrified of it, but we feel it's going to happen because this is an administration bent on one thing and one thing only. Suppress the population, tax the population, subdue the population, and make the population deaf, dumb, and blind. Houston, Texas, David, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, this is a real honor to speak with you. I have a quick comment it's kind of more of a theory of why I think the media isn't covering your story. And I'm not talking about ABC and CBS and NBC and those guys, but the so-called, you know, conservative guys. And I think it's probably because if they cover you, you know, there are some people that have not heard of you. And I think if those guys turn in and they start listening to your show, that's going to take away ratings from those guys. And those guys don't really care about anything.
I understand. That's right. When you look at Fox News and they have the wall banger, who is basically a kind of a clueless, nice guy who follows Rush Limbaugh, got lucky. And without Rush Limbaugh, without the Fox News network to promote him, he'd be out of business. He would have been out of business a long time ago. So, okay, I understand there's commercial interests involved, but I don't even want to waste any more time on that. I think what's much more important is the bombing in Pakistan and what it means about Obama's trip, which is that it's a destitute failure, a disaster. He went and he appealed to the Muslim world, got on his hands and knees, and he thought that his kind words alone would stop them. Here's their answer. Their answer is, here's a bomb. That was their answer. That is why your media is not covering this. Is there a connection between Obama visiting the Middle East and the bomb going off 2 to 3 days later? Yes, of course there is. Will those in the media like Katie Couric cover it? Of course they won't, because they can't even make the connection. They are so disconnected from reality, which is why you're not watching them anymore. Again, as promised, I will continue to cover all the stories that no one is covering. I then will come back. I will play for you the live Sky News interview. I'm going to leave a little early today because the tension of doing the television show, frankly, has gotten to me. I have a terrible smashing headache right now. And my eyes, I've been warned not to overuse them because I have a certain eye problems right now and all of that. You know, you're listening to a real person with a real show. I know the show must go on, but guess what? I don't want to go blind for this show. And so I'll give you the rest of the story when I come back.
Savage.
I am covering two major stories that are not being covered to any extent. Of course, it's starting to seep out. But I'm confirming now that Al-Qaeda has attacked a luxury hotel in Pakistan 2 days after Obama begged them on his hands and knees to be nice, killing we don't know how many, 5, 10, injuring 70, who knows how big it is. Look at the pictures. The hotel is in ruins. It's collapsed. Another story is my attempt to clear my own name. What's interesting to me is that certainly the story of the two American journalists who are imprisoned in North Korea is a bigger story, and that Hillary Clinton intervened on their behalf, as she is supposed to do. She has not yet replied to my request to intervene on my behalf. And so those of you who are in the middle and think that Hillary Clinton is a, let us say, moderate individual, you should understand that she has done nothing for your favorite talk show host. I'm going to take a few calls and then play the Sky News interview, which I just did within the last hour. Bob, quickly on WOR, go ahead, please.
Thanks, Dr. Savage. Two points, one minor, one major. Minor one, it's not a benign totalitarianism. It's more like an insidious, surreptitious one. One with big ears and a smiling face, rather than benign. The second point,
well, so you're saying that Obama is an overt totalitarian ruler?
If I can see it, I don't know how many other people can see it.
Do you know how many Americans think he's a nice guy? Do you know how many people are fooled by this man?
Tens of millions.
If you walk the streets of New York, 90% of the fools in Manhattan think that he's a good ruler who's saving the economy. Thanks for the call. Now, what I want to do now is play something you're not going to hear anywhere else. It's important that you hear it. My story in England is a very big story. It should be a big story here as well. Play it.
Hello, this is Sky News at 10. An American radio host banned from entering Britain by the former Home Secretary Jackie Smith has now written to the Prime Minister asking for the decision to be overturned. Shock jock Michael Savage appears on a list which also include preachers who are said to glorify terrorist violence, a former Ku Klux Klan leader and an anti-gay Baptist minister. Even though she's left her post, he's still suing Jackie Smith for defamation. This is how the then Home Secretary justified her decision last month.
We've got standards in this country of the sorts of values that we expect from those who have the privilege of coming here. I think it's right that we uphold those standards. That's the basis on which we make decisions about unacceptable behaviour. That's the basis on which he's on the list.
Well, in his letter to the Prime Minister, Mr. Savage says, the decision to exclude me was plainly arbitrary and based on soundbites taken out of context. The press release stated that I provoked others to commit crimes and that I fostered hatred. These allegations are entirely untrue and extremely damaging. I am advised that these allegations are serious and that I should press my claim. I am likely to recover a very substantial award in damages. Well, we can go live now to talk to Mr. Savage, who joins us from San Francisco. Very good evening to you, Mr. Savage. Is your aim to be taken off this list because you want to travel to the UK?
I had never applied to travel to the UK, which is the odd part. Where did Jackie Smith get my name from is the issue. But a terrible injustice has been done. She said behaviors. I'm a talk show host. There's nothing about my behavior. I've been on the air for 15 years, 3 hours a day. Those allegations that she made about me were true, I wouldn't be on the air in America. Moreover, she put me on a list with a Hamas murderer who bashed in the head of a four-year-old child in Israel. How in the world can she equate speaking with killing?
It's all to do with unacceptable behavior. Do you acknowledge that some of your comments on your show, on your website, stir up tension?
Behavior is different than speaking, is it not? You're the land of the Magna Carta, where there is freedom of speech. How do you equate murder with speaking?
Well, when you say you believe that your comments were taken out of context, I mean, the quote that's been used is that you advocated killing Muslims, and I've various quotes that I've pulled up, Muslims need deporting.
Totally ridiculous. Nobody would say that. It was in the context of the Mumbai bombing where I suggested what happens if a radical Muslim faction gets a nuclear weapon and we're faced with the Hobson's choice. Would you rather that they die or the Western nation die? That's quite different than the allegation that Jackie Smith made.
You have to acknowledge, though, that some of the things you said, not just perhaps about Muslims, but about homosexuals, about people with autism, have caused disruption, have caused demonstrations.
My friend, the mark of a healthy society is tension between communities. You have it in your own country. You had labor being thrown out because they created intercommunity tension with the other side. There are many conservatives in Britain who didn't like the Socialist Labor Party. That's intercommunity tension. Moreover, to take sound bites out of context and to keep blaring them as though that's the entire body of my work, that's what's creating intercommunity tension. It was Jackie Smith doing exactly what she said I was doing.
Why then, Michael, do you think, what's your reason why Jackie Smith has got you on this list? Do you think that there is a reason behind it?
I do think there's a reason behind it, but please understand, I never applied to come to your wonderful country. I haven't been there in over 20 years. My plant collections, I have a doctorate in art science, and my plant collections are in the Kew Gardens. I'm a scientist by training. I would love to go to Kew Gardens and visit my plant collections before I die. But I didn't apply for that. How did she get my sound bites? My show is not broadcast in England. I believe that some party in the U.S. took these sound bites out of context, sent them to Jackie Smith. She took them whole, broadcast them, and put me in a league with murderers. That's the error here. I don't know Jackie Smith. She made a big error. I want my name off the list. I'm appealing to Gordon Brown. I think Gordon Brown is a bigger man than Jackie Smith, and I suspect that he may understand that a terrible error has been made here.
Okay, there's been a big reaction in the UK, as you would expect, to this sort of story. What's the reaction been in the US to it?
Even my political opponents in the ACLU, as far left as you can get, people in the Arab world, as far opposite me as you can get, have said that this is absurd. There's no reason to have put me on a banned list. I'm a talk show host. How do you put me in league with murderers? How do you put me in league with terrorists? It makes no sense to anyone.
Finally, then, Mr. Savage, you've made this plea to the Prime Minister, a lengthy, impassioned letter. Legal action, is that still ongoing? What's the process?
My goal is to get my name off the list. I don't know Jackie Smith. She made a mistake. Gordon Brown has the option now of taking my name off the list, saying a mistake has been made. You're welcome to come to our country and paying my legal fees. And this is in the past. So there's no vendetta here. I have been an Anglophile all of my life since I bought my first broken XK150 Jaguar 30 years ago. I love the English people. But this Lilliputian is not the English people. She's distorted the whole meaning of freedom of speech. If I were this violent monster that she's created, I wouldn't have survived for 15 years on a daily show in the United States of America, heard in almost 400 stations. I have to reiterate that. If I had done the things she claims I have done, which is provoke violence, I would have been thrown off the radio here a long time ago.
Michael Savage, we very much appreciate you talking to us this evening live there from San Francisco. Thank you.
God bless the Queen.
Well, they got in the God bless the Queen, and I mean it, but I hope that Gordon Brown does the right thing. Well, what do you think? You be the judge. Do you think that the interview was fair? Do you think it was a setup? Do you think I defended myself well? I'll let you be the judge. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Savage. Covering two stories now in the Savage Nation. It's the terrorist bombing in Pakistan of a luxury hotel. They say 11 dead. You know the numbers will go up. They say 70 wounded. It's another Mumbai attack. The media has been very slow to react, and that is because this is the answer from Al-Qaeda to Obama's peace offering. Obama extended a hand of peace. They gave him a bomb. That is why there's virtually no coverage in the media. They do not want you to understand that Obama's pacifism is having the negative effects that we feared it would. I also played for you the Sky TV interview that I did earlier on a story that's being brushed aside by all the media in the United States of America, and yet it affects every broadcaster in this country, liberal, conservative, or idiotic. Every broadcaster in this nation should be on my side, but apparently they don't even understand what's at stake. I open it up to you. How do you think I did? Now, before I take your calls, I've got to replace something in my own head. She said to me, and she said to the audience that Michael Savage has been put on a list with, and she listed a number of individuals. She didn't say radical Muslims who killed. She didn't say Russian skinheads who killed 10 immigrants and put them on their website, on video rather. She left that out. Then she said, your behavior is inappropriate. And I said, wait a minute, don't you understand the difference between behavior and talk? Notice how they're trying to blur the lines between speaking and killing, between behavior and murder. Don't you understand what I'm saying to you, what's going on here? It's pure propaganda. How did I do? I think I did well. Now, within the hour, we're going to have the Sky News television interview, which went out to 2 million people tonight in England, on michaelsavage.com. You can judge for yourself. I hate television. I hate television. In fact, I made a vow I would never do TV again. I've said that for a long time. And I only came out of TV retirement this year to get my name off that damn list. I went on the BBC, I went on CNN, and that was it. I did this very reluctantly. I despise the medium. I much prefer radio. Austin, Texas, Holly, how did I do?
Yes, Dr. Savage, I just wanted to congratulate you on the great job you did with the interview with Sky News. It was excellent.
Thank you. I appreciate it. By the way, if you think that I'm right, if you think my name should be taken off that list, go to michaelsavage.com and look at the donation page for the Savage Defense Fund. I fear I'm going to need every dollar that I possibly may raise on this program. New York City, WOR. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
How are you doing, Joe? Love the show. Mike, I thought the interview was unfair in the sense that, hey, she did let you speak, but she wasn't really listening. She had, like, a lot of fat between her ears. She's trying to keep on feeding information, like you have to admit that it causes tension. You have to Yes, admit yeah. that you.
Well, she kept saying the things, yes, but you have to admit that your sound would cause inter-community tension. But I pointed out to her that these are obscure sound bites set over a long period of time that have been taken out of context and rebroadcast as a whole over and over again by Jackie Smith. So who actually was causing the inter-community tension, Joe? It was Jackie Smith herself.
That's definitely agreed upon.
All right, well, they're not expecting this. That's all there is to it. 1-800-449-8255, KNEW, Lance in San Francisco. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I was so pleased to hear you say at the end of your interview, God save the Queen. This is clearly about England and all the freedoms that it stands for. It's been a guiding light for...
I actually said God bless the Queen. It's very interesting. I didn't know if they even caught it, but I said God bless the Queen. It was a little different than God save the Queen, if you know what I mean. It sort of has the same meaning, but it was in English rather than in Anglo. I don't speak Anglo. I never learned Anglo talk. I know English talk, but I don't know Anglo talk. Anglo talk is a little different language. Where I came from, they didn't speak Anglo. They spoke English. Anglo is a different language. It's entirely different. It's very different. The people who speak Anglo the best, by the way, are from Jamaica. In my opinion, the people from the Caribbean speak the best English. I think the English themselves have lost the ability to speak the King's English, incidentally. But I'll open it up to you again on the Savage Nation. Wisconsin Pat, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, you know, you're beloved, that I just have to say. But the fact that it may be the land of the Magna Carta, it is no longer. They've already instituted a draconian fairness doctrine over there. And I think probably I think you did a great job, but, you know, they're coming from that perspective. And
wait, Pat, here's an interesting question. I know all of what you say is true. Then how come the media in England has been running after me now for 2 weeks, begging me to go on television, go on radio, publish letters? I'll ask you, which media is more controlled, the American media, which won't cover this story, or the British media, which has been covering the story repeatedly? Tell me which media is more controlled, the English media or the American media? The answer is the American media is far more controlled than any media in the Western world.
See,
people don't understand what they're living in here. You keep looking for the enemy over there. You keep expecting the Obama administration to come up with the Fairness Doctrine. What you don't know is that the Fairness Doctrine has already occurred in this country. It's occurred from Fox News blacking out Michael Savage and every other story that interferes with their commercial advantage. It's not that they don't want to run the story because they hate me necessarily. Sure, O'Reilly hates me because I've called him various names. Sure, Wallbanger hates me because he's an uneducated dolt who couldn't hold a cup of water to me. I understand all of that. But that's not the reason. Sure, the hemorrhoid is a moron. I understand all of that, but that's not the reason. The reason is because they are competitive with me on radio. Two or three of them are still on the radio. The third one, Corned Beef lost his radio show because he couldn't do it well. Now there's Wallbanger and Hemorrhoid. They don't want me on there because it'll make them look like the dunces they are. So what I'm saying to you is that for commercial reasons, and because there's so much media conglomeration in the hands of Rupert Murdoch, that is why you have more control over the media here, or less control of the media than you do in England. There is too much a conglomeration of the media in this country. Too few hands controlling too many outlets. I'll give you another example. My book, Banned in Britain, which I'm going to self-publish, was taken by someone who begged me to take it to New York. I said, don't be stupid. I said, the book's worth $4 million. They won't touch it. I was right. They won't touch it. They'll take a book by someone who's going to write a book about that Real Housewives of New York, a degenerate hooker, a drug addict, a terrorist. But none of the little men and women in New York publishing will touch this book. It's a born moneymaker. The book would make millions of dollars. But the cowardly Lilliputians in New York publishing won't touch it. And that includes the publishing company owned by Rupert Murdoch. He owns Fox News. He owns a publishing company. He owns the Weekly Standard. He owns Fox Searchlight movies. Don't you understand what it means? We've been warning you for years to not let too many media entities wind up in too few hands. Don't you see the effect it has? If you have someone who can compete with your puppets, you make sure that that person is not seen nor heard. That's what it was all about. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Virginia, I don't know. I really don't know who to take right now. Guys, give me any call you want because I'm disconnected from it. I don't know who should take. Give me anybody, whoever it is. Go ahead. Larry, go ahead, please. What's on your mind quickly?
It was tilted, very tilted. She was against you. Your answers were correct, but the schmuck who gave them information on you, they don't know how to deal with it over there. That seems to be the case. Whoever dropped it to them to keep you out, somebody made a big mistake. They dropped the wrong slipper by putting you out there.
Yeah, I think that Jackie Smith didn't know who I was. She didn't know my capacity, nor my background, nor my audience. I don't think the audience knows this, but I got a letter last week on this show. I read it to you from a gentleman who owns a large commercial bakery who employs 800 people here in the United States of America. He sent a very large donation to the Savage Defense Fund, but he also said something intriguing. He said he just canceled a $5 million order for machinery from the United Kingdom. He is also going to cancel two additional orders at $2.25 million each. That would make a total of approximately $10 million in machinery that is made in the UK that he's canceling, all because he loves me and understands that a terrible injustice has been done. I do not want to see this boycott of English goods metastasize, which is why, I keep appealing to Gordon Brown. The damage that this Lilliputian Jackie Smith has done can be undone by Gordon Brown. I'm hopeful he does it. Will he do it? I don't know. If he doesn't do it, then I wait until the incoming conservative administration appears whenever that happens. Will they do it? I don't know. Will they be another McCain-like conservative administration or a Reagan-like? So my suspicion is they'll be more like Ford rather than like Reagan. I suspect there's not going to be a sea change in English politics. I think it's going to be more of the same with a slightly different voice. Just as in America, we got McCain when we wanted Reagan, and now they're dancing Palin around when we're the last person on earth we need is Palin. If they run Palin, we're going to have Obama for another 10 years. I'm warning you people, make that Republican Party pick a real conservative who has experience or you're finished. You'll have Obama for another 50 years. This is the Savage Nation. I'm going to leave now. We have Jeff Kuhner coming in for me. Thanks, Jeff. I'll be right back.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I had never applied to travel to the UK, which is the odd part. Where did Jackie Smith get my name from is the issue. But a terrible injustice has been done. She said behaviors. I'm a talk show host. There's nothing about my behavior. I've been on the air for 15 years, 3 hours a day. If those allegations that she made about me were true, I wouldn't be on the air in America. Moreover, she put me on a list with a Hamas murderer who bashed in the head of a four-year-old child in Israel. How in the world can she equate speaking with killing?
That was the great one, Michael Savage. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, there you have it, my friends. Michael's masterful interview with Sky News. I thought he did an absolutely wonderful job. I thought he acquitted himself extremely well. And, of course, I think the $64,000 question is, why was Michael Savage put on the blacklist? Why was he banned from entering the United Kingdom and being put beside Russian skinheads, Hamas terrorists, Hezbollah suicide bombers, and other mass murderers? And to me, my friends, I think the question deserves an answer, and I think the answer is an obvious one. Michael Savage, unlike other conservatives, especially in the radio business, is somebody who speaks truth to power. He clearly is somebody who has gotten to the heart of the matter, especially on the issue of radical Islam. He is not afraid to say what needs to be said. And unlike other people in the talk radio business, he doesn't pull his punches. And so to me, it's very obvious that what went on here was you had people in the United States, I suspect it was CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, who have been gunning for Michael now for years because of the fact that he will talk about the growing threat of jihadism. He will talk about the threat of Islamic fascism. He will talk about the fact that there are clearly now Islamist cells within the United States ready to launch devastating strikes and attacks on American soil, upon our institutions, upon our buildings, and who would like nothing more than to drop a dirty bomb, whether it be in New York, Washington, or Los Angeles. And here we are faced with the greatest evil of our time, and people are afraid to speak the truth. And my suspicion is, I have no evidence for this, I'm just speculating, but I know CARE. I've followed them for many years. In fact, I've written about them quite extensively at the Washington Times. CARE is a very dangerous organization that will do everything it can to muzzle and silence any dissent on the issue of Islam, in particular, anybody who is willing to criticize radical Islam and jihadist terrorism. And Michael has been the leading, most outspoken person in talk radio, and maybe in many ways in the conservative media, against the gathering storm that we face in this country. And that is why, my friends, you all of you out there in a savage nation, I cannot tell you again what an honor and a privilege it is to speak to you tonight, and also what an honor and a privilege it is to sit in and to fill in for a living legend like Michael Savage. And I think, frankly, the way he has acquitted himself, the way he has stood up to the liberal thugs in Britain, especially Jackie Smith, I think will just make his legend grow even more. He is somebody who has shown himself to be a man of guts, a man of character, a man of a steel spine, who will not back away in the face of tremendous odds. And I think that right now, this boycott is starting to hurt people in Britain. It clearly is resonating with the British media. I think they now know and recognize they have picked a fight with the wrong man. But my friends, let's get to the heart of the matter. What you are now seeing in England is, I believe, the vanguard of what is going to happen in this country. Now, Michael eloquently talks about, yes, there clearly is a silence among many people in the media about what's happened regarding the ban on Michael Savage. But what you're seeing in England is the future. You walk down the streets of East London, as I have, and you will literally see imams and clerics from their mosques or handing out literature on the street calling for mass murder and jihad. They will openly say and claim the need for Sharia law to be implemented all across Europe and all across England. They demand that women are enslaved and that they hide behind burqas, that women should not get an education, that homosexuals should be hanged and murdered, that Jews and Christians should be persecuted and slaughtered. They call for the destruction of Israel. They call for the destruction of America. They ultimately call for the conquest of Europe and to create a world Muslim empire. And in the face of this growing intimidation, in the face of this gathering storm, what Jackie Smith, the former Home Secretary, did was she buckled. Rather than stand up and say, no, we will not allow this to occur on British soil, she looked for a scapegoat. She looked for moral equivalence. And she picked it out in Michael Savage. And my friends, there was a very famous saying under Nazi Germany, but it was profoundly true. A prominent democratic dissident said this: when the Nazis came for the communists, I stayed silent because I was not one of them. When they came for the socialists, I stayed silent. When they came for the Jews, I stayed silent. When they came for the homosexuals, I stayed silent. When they came for the gypsies, I stayed silent. But when they came for me, it was too late. I had no more allies. I had no more friends because they were all thrown off into the concentration camps and into the prisons. And my friends, this is how liberty is lost. It is rarely lost in one fell stroke. It is rarely lost in one blow. It comes through the death of a thousand cuts. And the most important cut is to assault the freedom of speech, the freedom of expression, and the freedom of the free press. And what you are now seeing slowly is an attempt to muzzle and delegitimize and criminalize conservative opinion. This is what's really at issue here. And this is why the attacks in Peshawar, Pakistan, are so important. Because what we saw last week, my friends, with Obama's speech in Cairo, is, I believe, our Munich. This now is history repeating itself in the most grotesque way possible. Here was an American president, just as Neville Chamberlain in 1938 went to Munich and shook Hitler's hand and openly proclaimed to the world, we have no beef with Nazism. We seek an open hand with Nazism and fascism. We have no quarrel. All we want is peace and mutual respect and equality. And then he came home, literally a rock star in his time. People think Obama is popular. I guarantee you, my friends, nobody was more popular in the 20th century than Neville Chamberlain was from 1938 till 1939. He came off the plane in London and he waved up his paper and he said, I have given us peace in our time. And the crowds chanted his name. Not since Napoleon, not since Charlemagne, not even Julius Caesar was a man's name proclaimed so loudly and so eloquently and so passionately and so belovedly as Neville Chamberlain. He was the great peacemaker. He was the political messiah. Just as today, Barack Obama is the political messiah. And Barack Obama went to Cairo. And there, beside the brutal dictator Hosni Mubarak, whose jails are rotting with dissidents, whose regime persecutes homosexuals, persecutes Christians, vilifies Jews, there he stood beside him and told the Muslim world that we apologize to them, that they have built a great civilization based on peace, based on justice, based on religious tolerance. And there we were, the leader of the free world, the country that all of the eyes of the Muslim world are now looking to. And he quotes the Quran. And he says to them that the greatest threat that faces in our time is not radical Islam, is not jihadism and terrorism. No, it is the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. The Jews must be silenced. Palestine must be given an independent state. And Israel must be told to stop building its settlements. That is the threat that we face. And then he lied, my friends. He lied openly and nakedly. He said that Islam had given us the compass. Islam had given us algebra. Islam had given us massive spires and arches. That Islam had even given us the printing press. Well, I'm sorry, Mr. President, but your multicultural political correctness is based on a massive fiction. It is a lie. The way Neville Chamberlain went to Germany and he praised the great accomplishments of German civilization. Because the truth of the matter is this. The Greeks invented algebra. The Chinese invented the compass. Gutenberg, the Germans invented the printing press. It wasn't Islam. But more to the heart of the matter. If he wants to lie to them, let him lie. But the greatest lie is this. There is now a gathering storm within the Muslim world. It has been gathering steam for decades. And on 9/11, we got just a taste of the hatred and the barbarism and the ferocity that is at the core of this storm. And 3,000 Americans were murdered on that day, butchered in the light of day, with twin towers coming down all around us. And yet, even then, Barack Obama tells them that their civilization is based on peace. Well, my friends, as Michael Savage has the guts to say, and as I will say, the problem with Islam is that it is based, there is a strong radical strain within it that has the adherence of over 150 to 200 million people. And in Iran, and in the Taliban, and in Hamas, and in Hezbollah, and across Rotterdam and Amsterdam and Hamburg and London, they are gaining followers and they are gathering stream and strength. They now see that Western civilization is on the ropes, that now we have a paper tiger and a paper leader. And now they realize they can roll him. And as he extends his hand, the radical Muslims have given their answer today in Pakistan. 11 are now dead and rising. 70 are now injured. A major foreign hotel, a hotel by foreigners, has been attacked with a truck bomb and with suicide bombers. This was the Muslim world's answer to Obama's policy of appeasement. But it will only get worse. And my friends, history will show that when the name of Cairo is mentioned, it will be the same name as Munich. It will be a sign for appeasement. It will be a sign that America lost its will, lost its power, lost its credibility. It will now be infamous for shame and surrender. This is what we are now reaping, and it will only get worse. I want to hear from all of you, my friends. How do you think Michael did on his performance on Sky News? Do you think they were fair to him? Do you think that he will eventually be taken off the blacklist? 1-800-449-8255. I'm Jeff Kooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Jeff Kooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, my friends, you heard Michael on his recent interview with Sky News. The questioners asked him, she asked some pretty tough questions. She came after him. I thought Michael did a superb job, acquitted himself extremely well. And my question is a very simple one. Do you think that Britain will do the right thing and remove him from their blacklist? Will they remove him from the ban, having Michael beside, literally, mass-murdering thugs like Russian skinheads and Hamas terrorists? What do you think is going to happen? Do you think eventually they will see reason? Or do you think this will continue and it will have to wait at least until a conservative government? I want to hear from all of you. 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to some of the calls. Daniel from New York, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I think the interview questions are very difficult, but Michael came across and as real and as human as possible. He did extraordinary, and I was very proud of him. I personally think he is the number one talk show host in America because basically America needs someone to just come out, hit it on the head, and he hit the nail on the head. God bless Michael, America, because let me tell you, when you have the truth on your side, you come out on top, and this man is a true patriot, and I am so proud of him.
You know, amen, Daniel. I got to tell you, I think that is Michael's, of all of his strengths, he has many strengths. Obviously, he's a natural radio phenomenon. He's just a natural talent. But I think to me, what I admire most about Michael, and I'm speaking now as a journalist and a columnist, is he's utterly fearless. He is a man who is willing to speak the truth. He is willing to take on anybody. And that includes the conservative establishment. That includes the Republican establishment. He is a true maverick. He is a true independent thinker. And to be honest with you, I'm not surprised that he was singled out in Britain. I expected something like this to happen eventually, because what history has shown again and again is that those that speak truth to power, those that are truly independent, they get persecuted. They get crushed. They are the ones that are feared by the powers that be. And this is what we're now seeing in England. And I fear you're going to see the liberal establishment try to do even more. It's starting in England, but I will not be surprised if the likes of Media Matters, if the likes of MoveOn.org, if the likes of many people in the liberal media establishment seek to muzzle and silence him. Because ultimately, we're now seeing it with the Fairness Doctrine. Liberals fear conservative opinion, and they know we have the truth on our side. And the only way you can beat the truth is to silence it, because in an open debate, we will win and they will lose. My friends, there's a lot of developments occurring on the Pakistan front. The latest story, which you can read on michaelsavage.com, there is a truck bomb. Militants have killed 11 now dead, 70 hurt. This is now the Taliban and Islamic fascism's answer to Obama's appeasement speech in Cairo. We'll have a lot more after this break. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Telling you about the story that's taking place over in Pakistan. It's in Peshawar, a hotel. According to the inspector there, it is confirmed now that it is a car bomb that has exploded in downtown Peshawar. And it's the Pearl Continental Hotel. So far, as from what we understand, and this number could possibly have changed by now, but we're going to be bringing it to you and, you know, making the adjustments as we go. 11 people are dead. 50 people are wounded. Now, this has happened in the Northwest Province. Think about that for a minute. Why is the Northwest Province important? Northwest Province of Pakistan is where we've seen a lot of civilian deaths since the Taliban offensive began in the Swat Valley. That's important.
That was CNN's Rick Sanchez talking about the recent attacks in Pakistan. Dramatic developments, my friends. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Well, you just heard it. Now we have a confirmation. There have been at least 11 killed. Apparently, militants overran a security post in the downtown hotel in Peshawar, which is a major city in northwestern Pakistan, the Pearl Continental Hotel. Militants overran the security post. They began shooting the place up. Then a suicide bomber came in and blew up a truck bomb, and we assume himself along with it. CNN mentioned 50 wounded. It looks now, according to Reuters and Associated Press, there have been about 70 wounded and 11 killed, and the death toll continues to rise. My friends, it's quite obvious from what we're hearing from people like Sanchez that the liberal media is going to spin this as a sort of Taliban counteroffensive, that this is the Taliban responding to the recent assault by the Pakistan military to retake the Swat Valley. Don't buy it, my friends. That is a classic smokescreen and a red herring. What this is clearly about, as Michael brilliantly pointed out in the last hour, is that this is an attempt by the Islamic fascists to send a message to Obama and to the United States that the more you appease us, the more we will hit you back and the more we will strike out at you. That fundamentally, the more weakness you show to us, the more we will dominate not only the Middle East, but eventually the world. That when you face up against true evil, appeasement only emboldens them to do even more evil and even more havoc and even more destruction. And my friends, I think it's now very clear. I think that the Islamic fascists have put us on notice. They are at war with us, and they seek nothing less than the complete eradication and destruction of Western civilization. They are barbarians who are now at the gates. And what is now happening in Pakistan is what they are now plotting to do here within the United States. They are now threatening to overthrow the government of Pakistan. And my friends, Pakistan contains a nuclear arsenal. This was one of the great foreign policy failures of the Clinton administration, the one that was supposedly, according to the liberals, one of the greatest administrations in American history. It was under Bill Clinton that Pakistan went nuclear. And now it is a ticking time bomb. Just like Iran, once Iran gets the bomb, should Pakistan fall into the hands of Islamist fundamentalists, this will literally unleash potentially a nuclear holocaust. These are people who believe in Armageddon. They believe in a world Muslim empire that can only be spread through the sword and through a great ball of fire. They seek not only the destruction of Israel, but the destruction of America and the West. They are now 60 miles away from capturing the capital of Islamabad and with it its nuclear arsenal. This is not about the Taliban trying to claim back territory it had lost against Pakistan. This is about the Taliban now saying, we have a paper tiger in the White House. We have another Neville Chamberlain. And just as Hitler rolled Chamberlain in 1938 at Munich, the Islamic fascists are now rolling our Chamberlain, Barack Obama. And my friends, I really want to stress this to all of you because it is the one point I have been making now for months, and it is the most important point that I can make. Before I became a commentator and journalist, I was an historian. In fact, I taught history at McGill University in Montreal, Canada, one of the most respected universities in all of North America. And what I always taught my students was this. In 1938, the most popular statesman of our time was Neville Chamberlain. His approval ratings were over 90%. He was considered a hero, not only in England, but all across Europe, including Nazi Germany. In the United States, Franklin Roosevelt openly championed and welcomed Chamberlain. When he came back from Munich, it was Roosevelt that sent him an open letter saying, "Congratulations on a magnificent job." And Chamberlain went to the British House of Commons and he told them that he has talked Hitler into peace, that he has come and magically, through the strength of his eloquence and his courage for diplomacy, he has now averted another European war. In fact, he came back and from the plane, he made a press conference and took out the piece of paper with Hitler's signature. And he said, "I have given us peace in our time." In fact, our wonderful producers here at the Savage Nation have clips of Chamberlain speaking. Boys, let's play it right now. Let's roll it.
This morning, I had another talk with the German Chancellor, Herr Hitler. And here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine. We, the German Führer and Chancellor, and the British Prime Minister, have had a further meeting today and are agreed in recognizing that the question of Anglo-German relations is of the first importance for the two countries and for Europe. We regard the agreement signed last night and the Anglo-German naval agreement as symbolic of the desire of our two peoples never to go to war with one another again.
In private, Hitler bragged to his henchmen, "I have seen Neville Chamberlain. I have seen the strength and character of the West. He is a cockroach and I have broken him." My friends, the Islamic fascists in Cairo saw our president, saw the leader of the free world, and they saw him as a cockroach and an empty suit. And now they are in the process of breaking him in Pakistan. My friends, we are now seeing history repeat itself. And after Chamberlain came home and waved his paper, and he was eulogized by everybody in the press, everybody across the political spectrum, one man rose up in Parliament. He was then a backbencher, vilified, marginalized, disgraced. In fact, nobody even wanted to give him a forum for his views. Many ways the way they're trying to outlaw and marginalize Michael Savage. Winston Churchill rose up. And the only one in Parliament. And Churchill got up and said, "We are now facing a catastrophe of unmitigated consequences. I fear we will now lose everything. Not only the British Empire, but democracy and civilization itself." And of course, within a year, he was proven to be right. Hitler broke his word. He invaded Poland and unleashed the hell of World War II. My friends, we are like drunken geese walking in the fog. Our media proclaim Barack Obama as our savior. In fact, Evan Thomas of Newsweek on MSNBC, just on Friday, I kid you not, literally said that Barack Obama was, quote, like God. This is what the liberal media thinks of this man. And yet history has shown that appeasement invites more aggression. Appeasement is the road to disaster and ruin. And under George Bush, for all of his flaws, that Texan cowboy understood one thing. The only thing Islamic fascists understand is strength and power. And he kept us safe from terrorist attacks. When nobody on September 12, 2001, thought that we would ever be safe again, that there was only a matter of time before our homeland would be hit. And now Barack Obama is in the process of appeasing everybody the key one being the dictator in Iran. And when Iran goes nuclear, Ahmadinejad, the dictator of Iran, the Nazi president, the Persian Nazi, will now finish what Hitler started. He will drop a nuclear bomb on Israel, and he will wipe out 6 million Jews and literally end Jewish civilization as we know it. And this, my friends, will trigger a larger Middle East war, and Iran will break Obama, and it will reveal him for the fraud and phony as he is, just as World War II revealed Neville Chamberlain for the fraud and phony that he was. Let's get to the calls. 1-800-449-8255. Michael from Las Vegas, you're on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for taking my call. Obama's Cairo speech was meant to, there's a few things I want to discuss, comments I want to make. Obama's speech in
Michael,
Cairo,
please make your points quickly because we got a lot of callers on the line. Shoot.
All right. It was meant to appeal to the moderates, the people that hate the terrorists as much as you do, or as much
okay.
as
now, Michael. Let me stop you right there. No, because here it is. This is the crux of the matter. This is the argument that the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, and frankly the Obama administration, not only been making for the last week, but they've been making it now for years. And these are their talking points. And this is the core of their talking point, the mother of all talking points for them. That what we have to do is appeal to Muslim moderates, that there are literally hundreds of millions of them out there who despise terrorism and jihadism and his extremism as much as we do. And if we only reach out to them, court them, respect them, give an extended hand to them, that they will join us in some grand alliance against the Islamic fascists. And they're wrong. And here's why they're wrong. Yes, of course, the majority of the Muslim world is moderate. That goes without saying. Not everybody's blowing themselves up. Most people don't want to blow themselves up. Most people, in fact, not just in the Muslim world, but across the entire world, they're apolitical. You live in the Muslim world, you are living in abject poverty. Every day is a struggle for bare existence and subsistence. You are struggling to eat and take care of your family. But that's not the point. In 1932, when Adolf Hitler came to power, he came to power, and this is forgotten, he came to power through a democratic election. He got less than one-third of the vote. Yes, the majority of the German people didn't care for Nazism. So what? If the majority is not willing to speak out against totalitarianism, against barbarism, against mass murder and genocidal slaughter, you're no good to me. And this is the problem in the Muslim world. They don't want to stand up against their radical imams. They don't want to stand up against Osama bin Laden. They don't want to speak out against the Islamic fascists in their midst. They are afraid. They are cowardly. They cower in the middle of the night. And they stand by and they allow these people to spew their hate and to mobilize and to recruit. And hence we are now faced with a gathering storm. What you need to do is not go there and tell them and lie to them about algebra and lie to them about how they invented the compass and flatter them and tell them how much we love them. We have to go there and say the very opposite. It was America that liberated 50 million Muslims in Iraq and in Afghanistan. It was America that liberated the Muslims of Kosovo and the Muslims of Bosnia from Serbian aggression. It was America that liberated Kuwait from Saddam Hussein's aggression. No country in the history of the world has done more to liberate the Muslim people than America. But my friends, all of you fellow Muslims out there, we cannot do it on our own. If you cannot stand up, if you cannot say that the enslavement of women is wrong, if you cannot say that the persecution and murder of Christians and Jews is wrong, if you cannot say that mass murder and suicide bombing in the name of the Quran and in the name of Allah is wrong, then you have a problem. We don't have a problem. You have a problem. And until you find the courage, until you find the dignity, until you find the guts and the honesty to stand up and speak with one voice, this cancer will grow and it will metastasize and it will consume you and eventually will consume the world. This is the fundamental challenge of our time. And we stood by and we allowed fascism to grow. And it grew and grew. and the result was 50 million dead and a continent in tatters. This time, my friends, it will be more than just a world war. It could potentially be a nuclear holocaust. This is the question that now faces us. Let's go quickly to Gene in San Diego. Gene, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. I just wanted to let you know that Savage picked a perfect fill-in in you, because every monologue that you give or dialogue has been awesome, and it has spoke to me more so than I think even he does sometimes.
Oh, thank you, Gene.
I just want to applaud you.
Gene, thank you so much. Look, I'll be honest with you. It is such an honor and a privilege to sit in for a legend like Michael Savage. I could never replace him. I don't even think I'm even qualified to come close to replacing him. He, to me, is a radio genius. He is somebody who I think has in many ways transformed and revolutionized talk radio. He is the most fearless, insightful, captivating talk radio host in the country, maybe even in the English-speaking world. I can't speak. I don't know people in England. But I think he could give anybody a run for his money. And I have to tell you, this is an outstanding audience. I've been on this show many times, and I have to tell you, your dedication, your devotion, your intelligence, your citizenship, your commitment to this country and to the truth is humbling to me, and this is why it is such an honor and a privilege to be on this show. I'm Jeff Kooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. We'll be right back. Savage. This is Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. Islamic militants have now struck back after Obama's speech. 11 are now dead in the Pakistani city of Peshawar. 70 are wounded, and the toll is rising. You can read more about it at michaelsavage.com. It is being updated as we speak. My friends, the Islamic militants have now responded to Barack Obama's open hand with a punch in the face. And I believe and I fear that this is only the beginning of a situation that is going to get much worse. I want to hear from all of you. Is Islamic fascism on the march? Did Barack Obama sell the Muslim world peace in Cairo? Or did he now just invite further aggression and genocide? 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Rashid in Houston. Rashid, you're on the Savage Nation.
Jeff, it's Rashad, and I'm a Muslim, and I say amen to everything that you said about the Muslims, but you are omitting some facts about the Second World War.
Rashad, what have I admitted? Get to the heart of the matter, because we got calls. We got other calls.
Persecuted in not only Germany, but Hungary and Czechoslovakia and Poland and all of those concentration camps, they were persecuted by Christians. Point one, even the Pope, with his silence, approved of it.
Okay, Rashad, let me cut you off there, because, Rashad, you have now, there are several serious fallacies that you've now made. And here's the biggest one. Pope Pius XII, contrary to liberal myth, did not, absolutely did not, in any way condone the destruction and persecution of the Jews. In fact, as we now know, he personally intervened and saved 4,000 Jews in Rome from being murdered and rounded up. More than that, over 870,000 Jews were hidden away and saved all across Europe because of his personal intervention throughout all of World War II. Don't even take my word for it. Leading Nazi figures, people like Reinhard Heydrich, quoted saying that the greatest enemy we have is not even Churchill or Roosevelt, but it is the Pope in Rome. This is a man who did everything he possibly could to rescue as many Jews. But let me get to the heart of the matter. Christians have never done what radical Muslims are now doing. If you look at what the Nazis did all across Europe, this was not done by practicing Christians. Nazism was a secular, atheistic, pagan ideology. In fact, it was explicitly anti-Christian. Hitler himself planned to kidnap and murder the Pope. So to lay this at the feet of Christians, or to make any kind of equivalence, is a lie. You, sir, I hate to say this, have a problem with radical Islam, not with Christianity. Face up to it. It's Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off tonight. My friends, there have been some major developments now in Asia, particularly in Pakistan. 11 people are now dead. 70 are wounded. The death toll and the injury toll are climbing. Islamic militants have now given their response to Obama's open hand. They have attacked a downtown hotel in the Pakistani city of Peshawar. This is in the northwestern part of the country. Apparently, militants stormed a security post at the Continental Hotel, overran it, began opening gunfire, murdering people, slaughtering foreigners and civilians in their midst. And then a truck bomb came in which a suicide bomber blew himself up and taking a lot of people and himself with him. My friends, the situation is getting bad. AP is now reporting at least 70 wounded, maybe more. The latest count has been 11 dead. You can go to michaelsavage.com to read the latest on it. My friends, I think this is very clear. This is now a clear message sent to us by Islamic radicals, not just in Pakistan, not just among the Taliban, but all across the world. They now believe that they sense weakness in the United States, that they sense weakness in the White House, that we now have the second coming of Jimmy Carter as president of the United States. And just as in the late 1970s, when Carter bent over backwards to appease our enemies, to engage in diplomacy, in dialogue, to express compassion and empathy for the Soviet Union and for Islamic fascists, their response is the same response we are now seeing today. They hit back and hit back hard. My friends, I'll never forget 1980. It was the election of Ronald Reagan was now looming, and many people around the world questioned American power, American will, American resolve. The Soviets had invaded Afghanistan. Iran was taken over by the fascist mullahs. Our American hostages were seized in the embassy in Tehran. Nicaragua, Angola, El Salvador, one country after another fell to Marxist rebels. America was down to the count of four. And yet, our Churchill, President Ronald Reagan, rose up and he spoke truth to power. And he said that communism's days are numbered, that America stands for freedom and liberty and human rights and democracy, and that rather than appeasing our enemies, we will stand up for the truth. We will stand up for Western civilization, and we will meet every one of their aggressive actions with a forceful counter response. And we will eventually bankrupt and bury our enemies. And that the more they hit us, the more we will hit them back. This, my friends, has been forgotten upon the current leadership in Washington. The Republicans are weak and in disarray. Obama and the liberals are now riding the saddle. They now sense an historic opportunity to transform America into a socialist state, but more importantly, to reduce America as a paper tiger on the world stage. They now want to make America only one of many other powers. They want to handcuff us the way Jimmy Carter wanted to handcuff us and the way Bill Clinton wanted to handcuff us. And no longer will America be a unilateral power that will act with strength and with resolve and defending its national interests. No. Now America is to go to Cairo, as Obama did, and practice multicultural sensitivity. We are now to tell them we want a new beginning. But this is the problem as we see it in Pakistan today. There is no new beginning. Because since now, since at least the 1970s, the Islamic fascists are on the march. This is not a new beginning for them. This is the latest round in a death struggle. This is for them a fight to the finish. They now have seized Iran. They are on the verge of seizing Pakistan. They are gathering strength in Afghanistan. They have captured Hamas and Gaza. Hezbollah has transformed Lebanon into a mini state. The Saudis are funding madrasas all across the world. They have now entrenched themselves all across Western Europe. They are in Germany. They are in France. They are in England. And now, as the Washington Times itself reported just a couple months ago, Hezbollah has penetrated our southern border with Mexico. There are now agents, there are now cells, terrorist cells in the United States waiting to plot, waiting to now launch bombs that will kill Americans. They want to repeat 9/11, if not worse. And yet our Neville Chamberlain, Barack Obama, goes to Cairo University and he stands there and he lies and lies and lies. We are to apologize to them. We who have liberated 50 million Muslims in the Middle East. We who have sacrificed 4,000 of our bravest men and women in Iraq. We who have spent billions, in fact, hundreds of billions of dollars to create Afghanistan and Iraq into functioning democracies. We have to go to them and apologize. And now, as he stood there groveling, the way Chamberlain groveled in front of Hitler, as he stands there, stroking their egos, telling them that everything is fine, that Islam is great, that there are no fundamental problems. All they need is just to tinker a little here and fix a little there, and everything will be fine. Now the Islamists have given us their response. There are at least 11 dead in Pakistan and 70 wounded, and the toll is rising. And my friends, this is just the beginning. Every day, every week, every month, Iran is closer to getting a nuclear bomb. Its leadership now openly calls for Israel to be wiped off the map. Hamas is getting stronger. Hezbollah is getting stronger. Barack Obama, as we have now learned through Israeli intelligence officials, has told the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, you can forget about striking Iran. You will learn to live with a nuclear Iran. There is nothing we can do. It is only a matter of time. The Jews are now facing another Holocaust. Yet this time, unlike the 1930s, they will not go quietly into the good night. They will not allow themselves to be shipped off in cattle trucks and put into gas ovens. This time, they will fight. And then the question will have to be, what will be Barack Obama's response? Will he stand by and allow the Jews to be wiped off in another Holocaust? Or will he come to their aid? And why didn't he come to their aid sooner? And his whole policy of diplomacy and appeasement, like Neville Chamberlain, will go up in smoke and in ruin. And he will be revealed for the fraud and the con man and the hollow president that he is. Yet he will have one major ally. And you mark my words, my friends, they will never betray him. Hell will freeze over before they betray him. And that is the liberal media. Already now they are proclaiming him to be the Messiah. As I mentioned the last hour, Evan Thomas of Newsweek went on MSNBC, literally the Pravda of the American Democratic Party, where literally it is the mouthpiece for the Obama regime, and said that Obama was, quote, like God. And this is exactly what many liberal journalists in this city view him. He is the political messiah. He is the man who will part the waters, and he will talk the radical Islamists out of war, just as Neville Chamberlain was supposed to talk Hitler out of war. Even now as we talk, as you and I speak, and we share this radio show together on the Savage Nation, already CNN and already the liberal media establishment are spinning the attacks in Peshawar as a Taliban counteroffensive. It is a parochial problem. It is a local problem. It's in response to the April offensive by the Pakistani government. It has nothing to do with Obama's speech on Thursday. Boys, let's roll. This is, I believe, Nick Robertson at CNN. Boys,
well, last year in September, there was an attack on the Marriott Hotel in Islamabad. More than 50 people were killed. It was a massive truck bomb that was involved in that attack. This hotel in Peshawar, the Pearl Continental, it's part of that same Marriott group that has been targeted this time. The attack last year was by the Taliban. No one we know has claimed this attack so far, but it looks like it's the Taliban. It looks like it's in response to the government crackdown on their offensive in the Swat Valley against the Taliban and in other areas in Pakistan. So it's got the Taliban's hallmarks all over it.
It's a response to a local crackdown. It's got the Taliban's hallmarks all over it. It's just a coincidence that this happened literally 4 days after Barack Obama's speech in Cairo. No, it has nothing to do with our Neville Chamberlain. No, he's a brilliant statesman. Hey, he's God. He can do no wrong. My friends, they are like drunken geese walking in the fog. I don't know if they are cynical and they are just literally looking to lie and act as a propaganda outlet and a mouthpiece for Obama, or whether they really believe their drivel. But either way, this is not a local incident. This was a calculated attack, clearly, by Islamic fascist thugs who are now sending a signal loud and clear, not just across Pakistan, but across the entire Middle East and the world. Obama is a phony and a weak president. He is somebody that we can roll and we will break his back. And what the Islamic fascists are doing in Pakistan is they are now launching a massive counteroffensive. They want to seize Pakistan, and they will then turn Afghanistan into a graveyard for American soldiers. They will fight us there. And then Iran will get the nuclear bomb. And you will see even more terrorist attacks across Europe. And every blow that is inflicted against Western civilization, every victory for the Islamic fascists, the liberal media will somehow spin. And they will rationalize. And they will try to somehow turn the blind eye to and excuse. But in the end, we can no longer excuse it, because slowly but surely, they are getting stronger and more confident and bolder by the day. They now see an America that has never been weaker, that has never shown less confidence, that has never been more hollow. Mr. President, the Republicans on Capitol Hill are squeamish and afraid to tell you this. If they are afraid and if they won't do it, I will. You are presiding over a bankrupt foreign policy. You are the bankrupt president of a bankrupt government. I am Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for the living legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We'll be right back. Savage.
Obama's had really a different task. We've seen too often as the bad guys, and he has a very different job from Reagan. Was all about America, and you talked about it. Obama is, we are above that now. We're not just parochial. We're not just chauvinistic. We're not just provincial. We stand for something. I mean, in a way, Obama's standing above the country, above the world. He's sort of God.
Yep, that was Evan Thomas from Newsweek magazine on MSNBC. Where Obama's sort of like God. You see, Reagan was about America. Obama's about so much more. He's the president of the whole world. And that's why we love him. That's essentially the mindset of the liberal media in this city, my friends. This is Jeff Kuhner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We have a lot of calls to get to. 1-800-449-8255. I want to hear from you. Is today's militant attacks in Peshawar, Pakistan, a response to Obama's speech in Cairo? That's the question before the House. Let's go to Steve in San Francisco. Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Jeff, it's great to talk to you. The reason I'm calling is because I've read a few reports that say that the high-level U.S. government officials were talking to people about converting that hotel, the Pearl Continental, into a U.S. consulate. I told the screener it was an embassy, but it's actually a consulate. But it's possible, I suppose, that word leaked out somehow to militants that the U.S. government was planning on using the facility, that they were there at the time, and that they were the targets.
Steve, I want to thank you for that, for the call and for that vital piece of information. Steve, I got to tell you, if that's the case, that just to me reinforces the point that what we saw today in Pakistan was a clear demonstration by the Islamist terrorists, by these Muslim fundamentalists, that they now want to strike at the United States, that they now want to demonstrate to the world that Obama is a weak, ineffectual, and hollow president who is now presiding over a bankrupt foreign policy. And if this was to be the site of an American consulate, well, they're now registering their message loud and clear. And my friends, I have to tell you, having covered the Clintons during the 1990s, I saw firsthand what corruption, both moral and intellectual, can do to this country. Because throughout the 1990s, as we stood silent, as we wanted to appease the Muslim world, what we saw was Iran began to go nuclear. North Korea went nuclear. Pakistan went nuclear. Our World Trade Center was bombed in 1993. The Khobar Towers in Saudi Arabia were bombed. The U.S. embassies in East Africa were bombed. The USS Cole was bombed. 17 American soldiers were slaughtered in that attack in the USS Cole. And yet we stood silent and did nothing. And as the gathering storm gained strength, it culminated on 9/11. And I fear now that there is another storm that is gathering. And with this president in the White House, it may climax not only in 3,000 American dead, but maybe a dirty bomb in Washington, New York, or L.A. I'm Jeff Kooner, sitting in for the legend Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Jeff Kooner sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. My friends, I want to hear from all of you. 1-800-449-8255. Do you believe that the Islamist attacks today in Pakistan have anything to do with Barack Obama's speech in Cairo last week? My friends, before we get to the phones, I do want to draw your attention to a very, very important story. You can go to michaelsavage.com. And on the top right-hand corner, an absolute blockbuster of a story. It is a must-read. Barack Hussein Obama has now given the order to close down Guantanamo Bay. He has now 7 months left to completely close the facility and to get the inmates either taken by countries abroad or have them shipped into the United States for trial. The first Guantanamo Bay detainee to be brought into the United States for trial came in today. His name is Ahmed Golani. Golani is somebody who is responsible, according to U.S. authorities, for helping to plot the bombing of the two U.S. embassies in Africa in August 1998. Those were the embassies in Tanzania and Kenya. As you'll remember, this occurred under Bill Clinton's watch. 224 people were murdered, including 12 Americans. Golani, in particular, was held at Guantanamo Bay. He is obviously a terrorist. He is a member of Al-Qaeda. He is somebody who the Americans believe, our authorities believe, in fact, helped to build one of the bombs. In other words, my friends, he is a mass murderer. He is an unrepentant terrorist thug. And now he has come upon our shores to abuse our liberties and to abuse the freedoms that are given in our justice system to plead not guilty, he will get a lawyer, he will have full legal representation, and his representation, this murderous thug who has the blood of 12 Americans on his hands, his legal fees and bills will be paid for by you, the American taxpayer. But more than that, my friend, this is to me what is utterly frightening, chilling, and insane. It is literally insane. As we stand here today, the Islamist thugs in Pakistan have just struck. There are now 11 dead, 70 wounded, and the toll is rising. And yet, those very same murderers we are now bringing on American soil. We are now bringing them here. And this guy, Golani, is going to be housed in an American prison where he can then use that prison to indoctrinate fellow inmates, to try to, in as much as possible, recruit terrorists. He will be a rallying cry and a galvanizing point for other Islamist thugs across the United States. He will be able to potentially plot and scheme to commit more terrorist atrocities and heinous acts on American soil. We are now importing into this country the Islamist butchers that just today have massacred innocents in downtown Peshawar. This is the logic of the Obama policy. It is to appease our enemies abroad and to bring in terrorist thugs literally into the bosom, into the heart of the United States. My friends, this is sheer insanity. These are the acts of a liberal who is completely disconnected from reality. And it comes to the heart of the matter. What I have learned through all of my years of experience and through working here in Washington, D.C. at the Washington Times and the media is when I talk to my liberal colleagues, not so much at the paper because we don't have that many liberals at the Washington Times, but journalists at the Washington Post, at the New York Times, at USA Today, at CNN, at MSNBC, is that at their core, a liberal is a self-hating, self-loathing American. It is somebody who profoundly believes that we are the great Satan. We are the root cause of all that is wrong in the world. And this explains Barack Obama to a T. It is why he believes our economic system, that American capitalism is founded upon exploitation, that it is founded upon oppression, that literally American capitalism is responsible for creating poverty, for denying the rights and opportunities to workers and minorities, why we need socialized medicine, why we need more regulations, why we need to have cap and trade, why we need to have the government take over the banking sector and the car sector and the financial industry sector, why you must have government control large swaths of our economy, and more importantly, why the United States must go abroad and apologize to the rest of the world, because we are at fault in the world. We are not a force for good. According to the liberal mindset that Barack Obama has drunk from so deeply throughout his entire life, as Reverend Wright, his pastor, said for 20 years, which indoctrinated Barack Obama, wants to close Gitmo, why he's ashamed of the war on terror, why he calls waterboarding torture when it clearly isn't, when he now wants to allow Iran to get a nuclear bomb, why he wants to appease Hamas and Hezbollah, why, in fact, he leans against the only democracy and pro-American ally we have in the Middle East, Israel. We will sell out our friends the way Neville Chamberlain sold out the Czechs. We will sell out the Jews, but we will cozy up to the butchers in Tehran or to the butchers in Saudi Arabia or to the butchers in Egypt. This is the shame of Barack Hussein Obama. And this is the man who is now leading our White House. And my friends, unless we find the courage, unless we find the intestinal fortitude, unless we find the profound patriotism and moral conviction, as Churchill did in 1938 when he opposed Neville Chamberlain and his policy of appeasement, until we say, no, enough is enough, that we will not stand by and allow these butchers to wreak havoc around the world and threaten us day after day, that we will now stand up and we will defend our country and we will defend our civilization and we will defend our basic freedoms and human rights. And we will no longer tolerate appeasement. We will no longer tolerate mass murder. Until we have the strength to say that, until our president can go to the heart of the Muslim world and say to them with one voice, let freedom reign. As Ronald Reagan went to Berlin with Mikhail Gorbachev in 1987, and he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. There is no equivalence between communism and capitalism, between the Soviet Union and America. America is right, and you are wrong, and your people yearn to be free. This should be our message, that when the Islamists counter with hatred and darkness, we counter with light and freedom, and we will make no apologies for it. Let's get to the phone calls. 1-800-449-8255. Tom from Scranton, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, well, look, I'm a liberal. Let me just try and help you out here. We don't hate America. We just happen to think the government sometimes goes crazy. The government can't go around starting wars and knocking over dictators and expect the rest of the world to be happy about that. Liberals want to reign.
Hold on a second. Here we get to the heart of the matter, Tom. Why shouldn't the world be happy about it? See, this is your problem, is that in 1938, when people like Churchill said, no, it's time that we stood up to that dictator in Germany, to that little petty dictator with his little mustache, where he can stand around and kick the Jews around. We should stand up to him. You know what? All the liberals said, no, you're going to end peace. It's going to lead to war. Oh, my God, you're going to offend the Germans. Sometimes dictators need to be toppled. Sometimes wars need to be fought. And this is the fundamental problem with pacifism and with liberalism. You cannot accommodate evil. When you do, you invite more evil. And there was a gathering storm throughout the 1990s that Bill Clinton turned a blind eye to. He did nothing about Iraq. He did nothing about Afghanistan. He did nothing about bin Laden. He stood by and did nothing. And what was the response? It was 3,000 American dead. Afghanistan was turned into a medieval, barbaric, Islamo-fascist state. Iraq became a massive genocidal hole. It massacred nearly 1 million Iraqis. Terrorists were funded and supported all over the world. We were on the ropes. And then we fought back. And we said, yes, we will bring democracy and freedom across the Middle East because that is the only way to counter fascism. If you do not free up the Middle East, if you do not open it up, then what dictators do is what they're doing now. Let's take Egypt. Go to Hosni Mubarak. Look at the Egyptian press. It is filled with anti-Semitic and anti-American venom. You know why? Because those dictators in the Middle East cannot provide a decent living for their people. Their economy is in shambles. Their societies are backward. Their politics are corrupt and dysfunctional. So they have to then blame outsiders, blame the Jews, blame America. But if you bring freedom, look at Iraq. We now have a pro-American government. Look at the Kurds. We now have a pro-American democratic base in northern Iraq. Look at Afghanistan. Everywhere that we have brought freedom, we bring allies. Everywhere we bring freedom, fascism is dealt a blow. That's the problem that you liberals don't understand. Sometimes in the face of evil, words are not enough. You need action. Let's go to Greg in New York. Greg, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Jeff, I love listening to you and Mike, learning as much as I can, getting your perspective. I want to shed some light on this discussion with actually a piece from The Art of War by Sun Tzu. I always remember when I read that piece that sticks out is when he says, when you are weak, appear strong, and when you are strong, appear weak. I feel as though Obama and this administration is appearing strong by putting out that hand, similar to how Chamberlain did so. And in reality, we are weakening ourselves. We are putting ourselves in a position we do not want to be in, and vice versa. You look at the Islamic extremists. There's been a quiet state in terms of international incidents, shall we say, since maybe going back to 9/11 and the subway bombing in Spain. But as you say, this is certainly the reemergence and the showing of strength. Although we might have felt comfortable here for a short while and thought they were weakening, they are in fact being stronger. Getting stronger and now showing that as
Greg,
we've given them the opportunity.
My friend, you hit the nail right on the head. They have attacked Spain. They have attacked London. There have been terrorist plots in Paris and in Berlin that have been disrupted. They now have turned the Balkans into a stronghold. They now have occupied much of the Middle East. They are now gathering strength in the Philippines. They have now infiltrated the American homeland. They are getting stronger day by day. And as this goes on, we are getting weaker. And just as the 1930s, we are now facing exactly the same situation. We now are a country in economic crisis. Our population is war-weary and exhausted. We have lost our civilizational and moral self-confidence. We now have a peace movement that is stronger than ever. Just as the peace movement tied Churchill's hands, it is now tying the hands of conservatives in this country. We have lost our will and our strength to win. We no longer truly believe that we are a superpower. And my friends, this gets to the heart of the matter. I often, in the middle of the night, I'll be very frank with you, I will think back upon the 1980s and upon Ronald Reagan's presidency, when America stood tall, when we bestrode the globe like a colossus, where we stood for freedom and democracy and human rights. And our president spoke proudly and unequivocally that we were a city upon a hill, that we have been a refuge for tens of millions of immigrants who have fled oppression and poverty and who have made a wonderful life for themselves, that we, since 1776, have lit the flame of freedom, that we started a democratic revolution that has transformed the world, that we have created the most decent, the freest, the most progressive democratic society in the history of the world. And this is what he said again and again. And he was unapologetic in his pride in being an American, because he stood on the rock of truth. He stood on the rock of morality. He stood on the rock that everything that was good, he was true to our forefathers. And now I look and I see this man, this shell of a human being, this empty suit, who runs around with his golf shirts and his khakis as he goes to Cairo, betraying the dissidents who are rotting in the jails of Egypt, betraying the dissidents who are rotting in the jails of Tehran, who stands there and Mr. Big, courageous statesman, he blames the Jews. Yes, it's always blame the Jews. No, Israel is at fault. Israel is to blame. And my friends, I ask myself this question. Was it all just a dream? The 1980s, the Reagan years, did I imagine it? Or did we really live that? Did we have a president who spoke for the heart and soul of America? Did we have a man who had the strength of his convictions? Because my friends, we have to come to the heart of the matter. We have to face truth and stare it in the face. What has happened to our country? Look at our leaders. We can't find one honest man or woman among us here in Washington, D.C., to stand up to this paper tiger, to this fraud, to this phony, and do what Churchill did in the 1930s and say, no, I will not stand by and allow my country to be sold down the river. I will not stand by and allow these fascist thugs to conquer and to sweep across the land and to bury everything that we have built. I will not sell our patrimony and our civilization down the river. I will not give it all away. I will not go quietly into the good night. Where are they? That is my question. 1-800-449-8255. This is Jeff Kooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. Savage. Jeff Kooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation. My friends, it has been a real honor and a privilege to speak to you tonight. You're an absolutely wonderful audience out there. And I got to tell you, it is a true thrill, a true, true thrill to be speaking to all of you. We heard Michael earlier give his very important interview to Sky News in Britain, again asking the British government to repeal their ban of him on their blacklist, Hopefully, Prime Minister Gordon Brown will finally heed to reason and take Michael off that ban. In fact, I believe we have another clip from his interview with Sky News. Boys, let's roll it.
If I were this violent monster that she's created, I wouldn't have survived for 15 years on a daily show in the United States of America, heard in almost 400 stations. I have to reiterate that. If I had done the things she claims I have done, which is provoke violence, I would have been thrown off the radio here a long time ago.
Michael Savage, we very much appreciate you talking to us this evening live there from San Francisco. Thank you.
God bless the Queen.
Yep, God bless the Queen. I guess they managed to get that one through. Michael, again, was strong. He was forceful. He was courageous. He was completely surgical in his answers. And I think, Michael, to be honest with you, you have nothing to do but to hold your head up high and be proud, because you have fought the good fight. You are right. They are wrong. And this ban will eventually come down. It is now just a question of time. And clearly the British media is interested in this story because they sense, I believe deep down, that they have done you, that Britain, the British government and Home Secretary Jackie Smith has done you a profound wrong. They have violated your right to free speech. They have violated your right to freedom of expression. They have violated your right to speak your mind about some of the important truths and important issues of our time. And this ban is nothing more than the act of cowards. And the act of cowards results because they fear you. They fear you because you speak the truth. And this, my friends, I believe, is something that we should never forget. We've talked about Neville Chamberlain and how he pushed the policy of appeasement, just as Barack Obama is pushing the policy of appeasement today. But in the end, the truth overwhelmed Chamberlain. And it was Churchill, the great conservative of his time, who spoke truth to power. And this is what we have to do today. It is what Michael is doing. It is what I try to do. And I believe it's what this audience is all about. We speak the truth to power. And as long as we speak the truth, we will win, because we have the truth on our side. God bless the truth. God bless Michael Savage. And God bless all of you. This is Jeff Cooner sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.